Hello, everyone. We're going to start our workshop. I'm Jose. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Jose.
Grateful to be of service. The name of this workshop's topics and abstinence. Lorraine is going to share traveling, you know, abstinence and traveling, and probably we're going to have something about medical abstinence and something also about the seven tools. Okay, so.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lorraine, compulsive eater. I'm here to let you know that you can take our program anywhere in the world and be successful. You can take our program and have any act of God happen to you and probably figure it out and be successful, because I have done quite a few of those things. And have been successful with my program. I have a handout here that I threw together just to give you some ideas. And the ideas that I received were not only ones that I learned with traveling, but asking other members who have traveled all over the world. So I'm just going to give you a couple of ideas here, and then I'll expound upon it better. Okay? Take your forever abstinent book with you, and if you don't want to take anything that big, take the trifold, because when you travel, especially in foreign countries, they are going to have two things that we're not used to. One of them is they don't always use pounds and ounces and tablespoons. They use the metric system. The trifolds in the forever abstinent book has the conversion in there for us. Okay. Another thing is you may not have the typical protein that you're used to, and you may not know what the new protein measurement or weight is. And so take your abstinent book with you. Take your scales and measuring cup. Now, we all hate to let people know that we weigh and measure our food. I was introduced to something a couple years ago that is wonderful. It's called a Joseph scale. It opens up like this. It does metric and ounces. You can put your plate on it and see what it is. I don't know about you guys, but the scales that I've had before, it hides the numbers, and I'm using my flashlight to see what it is. Anyway, this is compact. It goes anywhere. It's a godsend. I found it online, and it's called the Joseph, as in a man's name, Joseph scale. And it's wonderful. Batteries last forever. Pardon me? Oh, Bed Bath & Beyond. Oh, that's right. And we have gift certificates in the raffles for Bed Bath & Beyond. Okay. The other thing is, I found this at a grocery store, but then it became really hard to find. But places like REI and camping kind of stores, this is a measuring cup. And it does like this. I've got them all, plus the tablespoons, etc. But you know, if you think about it, rarely do we use a third of anything, correct? And if you only want to take one, take your half a cup, okay? Because then you can make it in half for your fourth. You got your half a cup. You can use four of them for your two cups, okay? You can be very creative with this. So if you think about it, this is all I need to maintain my abstinence. I have purses that can carry this in one pocket alone. So, no excuse for weighing and measuring. And I'm grateful for this. And if you think you need a bowl, REI has collapsible bowls just like this. You know, they make it for us to take our dogs for a walk. You know, the little bowls for water. They do it for human beings too, folks. We can do this. The other thing is be prepared. I have to be honest with you, the flight anywhere and my first day anywhere really freaks me out. My daughter and I do a lot of traveling, and we get along very well. But she says, Mom, I don't like you on the first day because you're obsessed about your food. What I need is to get grounded. I need to find out where my food can be found wherever I'm at, you know. 9 years ago, I went to London, and I really had to go to any lengths to keep my abstinence, because where I was at, I couldn't find the fresh fruits and vegetables. And over there, all of their meat is either boiled to nothing or fried to death. And I was able to be abstinent. There was a couple of times when I did without. But then the next time we went a few years ago, even their convenience stores, like our 7-Elevens, they even have fresh fruits and vegetables there. You can buy like one banana, and you can buy a salad that's already pre-measured. It's come a long way. They may have always been there. I've come a long way, okay? When we go to restaurants, I look at the menus first. And then if I'm not sure if they don't have what I need, I ask. We went to a prepackaged tour one time in Ireland, and we were in this castle, and they were doing the medieval dinner. And I mean, I'm talking about the great big turkey leg thing, you know? And I just mentioned to the chef that I had a food restrictive diet, and this is what I needed. He took it upon himself to challenge himself. I had the most beautiful abstinent meal, and instead of the dessert that they had, he made a fruit plate for me, and he did the flower pieces of it. I mean, he just made it gorgeous. People around me said, gosh, I wish I had had that instead. And I've had that comment by many people. They have wanted my food. I have been on an 8-day cruise to Alaska. Most people gain weight on cruises. You hear about people saying, when you go, lose a lot of weight first because you're going to come back 30 pounds heavier. I hadn't reached my maintenance weight yet, and I actually lost weight on that cruise. They have the open dining where you have a buffet thing just like we do here, and I took my stuff and put it on my table. I put stuff on my plate. I went back to the table, and without the whole world seeing, I did my weighing and measuring. And when we went to the formal dining room every night, that's what my sister and brother-in-law wanted because they were going there, you get the same waiter. If you go to the certain dining room, you get the same wait staff all the time. I told the waiters what I needed. After that first night, every night I sat down, they asked me what I wanted, I told them what I wanted, and they brought me out my pre-measured food. And it was just as beautiful as the person next to me. When it was dessert time, they brought out my fresh fruit. So I dined like a princess and stayed abstinent, and I came back 3 pounds less. And I think I'm probably the only person on the planet that came back from a cruise losing weight. And I figured, and this was to Alaska, I'm not going to name the dessert, but you know, use your imagination here. The last night they make the big to-do about, you know, Alaska. And they said, are you sure you don't want it? And I said, no, thank you. I tell myself every time, if I can say no and stay abstinent on a cruise and say no to that particular dessert, why am I going to go try and have a slip over crap that I used to eat by the bag full, okay? So I'm kind of my own poster child, and I think about what I said no to in Alaska, and it's easier for me to say no to the stuff that's in my house or in the store, you know, things like that. The next thing that is hard for me, like I said, is the plane trips, especially if you do it out of sync of your day. A lot of the trips that we seem to, my daughter and I take, we fly out like at 10 o'clock at night. And if you're on the plane 4 hours, for every 4 hour increments on the plane, they are required to feed you. I am not required to eat. If it's going to be during my mealtime, I do ask for the vegetarian meal. I have my own protein and my own grain with me already. The vegetarian meals still give you the sugar and flour products. If you do the gluten-free, they still give you the sauces and they give you things that we're not supposed to have. I have learned to still bring my own food and to say no. And saying no has been the most important part of my recovery ever. Knowing that I may not get all 3 cups of vegetables for my dinner that night. I may only get 2 cups or something like that if I'm not quite prepared. And do you know the most amazing thing is? I lived to see it the next day. I don't die. It's kind of cool. Those are the kinds of things my higher power in the program has given me. You know, when we say, if in doubt, leave it out, damn it, we mean it, you know? If I am not allowed, if I can't get to my fat at lunch, I don't take care of it an hour and a half later on just because I deserve it, because that's not in my program. My meal time says, I'm not on a medical absence, I'm not on a special needs thing. Mine is 3 meals a day with nothing in between. And so I have to live by that. And I have found such beautiful places when I travel. I have discussed and discovered things with people that I would never have seen before. And for me, that makes up for anything that I might have missed. But I really don't go without any food. I don't struggle or suffer with my food plan at all. I've just learned to put my priorities in place. If I hadn't lost the 88 pounds that I lost in this program, I probably wouldn't have gone overseas to see these wonderful places, you know? I was this close to have the extended seatbelt. And you know how awful that is for us, you know, to have to be on a plane or someplace like that where you have to take up 2 seats. I don't have to do that anymore, and I'm really grateful for that. The fruits that I have found that are the best travelers are your dried fruits, especially raisins, because they're already pre-measured for me. I buy 2 or 3 packs of, you know, sack things of raisins, and I throw it in my suitcase. A box of Triscuits is my grain, and 1 box will last me about a week, you know. And if I can get brown rice or other things in restaurants or potatoes or whatever, I do, you know. But those are really packable, compatible foods. Other grains like our oatmeal, most boxes of prepackaged plain oatmeal is the 1 ounce that we're allowed. Every hotel room has a coffee maker. You can put it in hot water with a box of raisins, and you've got your breakfast there. The protein at breakfast time is hardest for me because, you know, oatmeal and things like that, they're pretty portable. So I take canned milk if I don't have to worry about weight. If I do worry about weight, I take my cheese sticks for my protein. Cheese sticks will last about 5 days, not having to be refrigerated. And we also have a recipe that I'm not going to give you here, but there's a recipe that most of us have through the book on an oat bran loaf. When I'm going to travel, I make an oat bran loaf and I freeze them. I put them in, you know, my daily meal, and I freeze them. And so I've got a couple of days worth of my breakfast that way as well, because if you freeze them, they don't thaw out while you're traveling. Sacks of carrot sticks, sacks of certain vegetables last a long time. Vegetables can be a bit of a problem because they're bulky. And especially if we do the 16 ounces and 24 ounces versus cups, that's a lot of lettuce, folks. But one thing I want you to think of, and the groceries or the producers have ruined this for our babies as well. I have gotten the squeezable applesauces for my fruit, and I have gotten the squeezable vegetables before. V8 is great, again, if you don't have to worry about weight. But there are packaged vegetables, squeezables, that you can get to put in your suitcase to at least get you through the first day until you know where you're going. If you can't find them in the human aisle, go to the baby aisle. They don't have to know that it's for you, you know? But what they've ruined for us is, I was going to bring a couple to show you what I've done. They have mixed them for these kiddos because they're even teaching our babies, you can't have your carrots unless we put in a pear. So we can't go there because there's no way we can measure it carefully. But I think if you go to like a Whole Foods or a place like that, you might be able to find the pure vegetables for you to use. One time when I was in Ireland, I really had a hard time finding some stuff because of the time we got in during the day. And I had this package of freeze-dried vegetables, and it tells you what it's worth. I mean, it gives you your measurement there, so you're going to be safe. And I mixed it with a little bit of 7-Up. It was awful. But I was abstinent. I felt good. I did the right thing. And then I found the convenience store that had the real food, and I took care of business for me. Another thing, like the proteins, soy nuts. I know they're kind of hard to find. I don't know if they're hard to find in California, but all of a sudden in Colorado, they're not at my stores anymore. I can just buy them, you know. But I have a supplier, and he's called the Mountain Man Fruits and Nuts, and so I buy a case at a time. Soy nuts are very, very portable for traveling. And you don't need to refrigerate them. You don't need to cook them. I mean, you just have them. And I have a sponsee who goes to India every other year, and she stays there for over a month. She has maintained her abstinence for 8 years, and that includes going to India for a month. If she can stay abstinent in a country that far away, I certainly can when I go to a more civilized place where we have the kind of food that we're used to. And I don't mean civilized in the negative, please don't take anything wrong. But what I mean is the food that the Indians eat are far different, I'm thinking, than what I eat. And my friend who goes to India says, oh no, in fact, that's all she eats now. She buys the right vegetables and the seasonings, and oh, she's hooked, and she loves it, and she's abstinent. She's lost over 88 pounds. So it can be done, but cheese sticks are great. They don't need to be refrigerated. Soy nuts are good. Hard-boiled eggs last for a while too, you know? So it'll get you to where you're going. You know, if you can think ahead, if you can take care of yourself for 24 hours, you're usually in very good shape. We can all carry 24 hours worth of food in our suitcase. It's not that heavy if we do it the right way. I talked about the grains. Fats. The prepackaged cream cheese, they're usually 2 tablespoons, so you have to be careful on when you use that. So if you need that for your fat, for half and half for your coffee or something, you know, those little mini moos, they're 1 tablespoon apiece. The pats of butter, sometimes they're what we can have, and sometimes they're more than we can have, but they do melt. The mini moos and the cream cheese, you don't have to refrigerate, and they are, you know, packaged in a good way. The margarine, the butter, they're kind of a tough thing. But if you can get through the first 24 hours, you're going to be great. Camping and hiking. I have several people in the program who camp for weeks at a time, and you know, they make the comment, a package of pre-mixed vegetables takes up as much room as a package of potato chips. So they're able to keep their abstinence for up to a week hiking and camping in places that I have no desire to go to. You know, I like to flush, you know. And but they're able to keep abstinent doing all of that. We have some members in our home group that have, I'm not sure what their higher power and their religious affiliation is, but they do a lot of things where they go up into the mountains and they fast for like 4 or 5 days. They eat their abstinent food before, and then they do the fasting, whatever they do, and then they slowly come back after fasting. And they are able to stay abstinent and take their food. And yes, they have to take a cooler, and yes, they have to have provisions as far as ice. Dry ice helps a lot. I think dry ice lasts a heck of a lot longer if you're camping. For that. But those are my little hints as far as traveling goes. The first thing you have to remember is you're worth the fun of wherever you're going to go, and you're worth staying abstinent through the whole thing, and it can be done. Just ask people who travel, and they'll give you all the clues that you can possibly want, and you can be comfortable about it. As far as nature goes, what I want to say is, this is one of my favorite stories. Many years ago, I took my daughter-in-law and three small grandchildren out from Colorado out to the other side of Oklahoma for Thanksgiving. My son was in Iraq at the time. And on our way back, it was one of those terrible blizzards, and they closed the roads. I mean, we were stranded in this very small town. I knew we were going to be stranded, and like I said, my grandchildren were rather small. So we went into Walmart, and we got some provisions to make sure they were okay, you know, the water and so on and so forth. And I'm really new to the program, and I'm thinking, you know what? I got to eat, too. So I grabbed a bunch of packages of what I used to call boutique carrots, you know, the itty-bitty carrots. So I bought a bunch of those, and I bought a bunch of cheese sticks, and I think I was still on my first 30 days because I don't think I could have very many grains. So I got a box of Triscuits because the only time I could have grains, I think, was breakfast. I'm thinking that. Anyway, I stocked up on that, and I got a box of powdered milk. We were stranded for 3 days. We were sleeping on the floor. I had an air mattress in my car. There was no electricity. There was no way to blow that sucker up. So we were sleeping on the floor, and we're stranded for 3 days in the blizzard, and after a while, we couldn't even have gone places. Well, the Red Cross or somebody came. We were in a National Guard armory thing in Goodland, Kansas. And, you know, wonderful people who are used to this came in to feed everybody. Well, none of it was food I could have. None of it. So I had my abstinent food, and it worked. So I did my thing, and everybody else did their thing, you know. And I was able to stay abstinent through 3 days of being snowed in. It took me a long time to eat carrots or cheese again, though, because I had them 3 meals a day for 2.5 days. So when I got back home, I made an abstinent meal, but I guarantee there was nothing orange or yellow about it. So things like this, if we're prepared, we can do this. Don't be afraid to travel and enjoy your life. Don't let the food get in your way. We can do it. And sometimes you may have to go without certain things. Like you may get cheated on your fats, or you may not get your fruit for the day. But you know what? You're going to live the next day, and you're going to be happy that you didn't do it the wrong way. So have courage.
Thank you, Lorraine. I would like to know if somebody has any questions for Lorraine. I guess not.
Come to the microphone. Contact information.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm area code 970-310-7850, and I'm Mountain Time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You betcha. 970-310-7850. And if I don't answer you the first time, leave a message or something, because if I don't have caller, if it's something that doesn't come up on caller ID, sometimes I won't answer the phone. And it's not because I don't want to talk to you. I'll call you right back if I don't answer you. So just leave a message and say, I'm Seahow, and I'll call you right back, okay?
I have a question.
Sure.
KH from Pennsylvania. Is there any kind of, like cool pack or whatever you can take through TSA with your food?
I have not, you're gonna love this one. I have been able to take, I haven't taken any of the frozen cool packs that you're talking about, but I should have brought it with me because I brought it today. I have a little lunch bag that looks like a backpack, and it's a freezer bag. You put it in the freezer, and then when you take it out, you put your food in it, and it stays cold, and that has passed TSA. Hmm. The only time TSA hasn't liked my food, which is a gas, a friend of mine told me that canned pumpkin is a great traveling food. So I got my Tupperware, and I did my 2 cups of pumpkin because I wanted to be real, concise. I put in my bran, and I put in my raisins for my fruit, and I put in my yogurt for my protein. So I had one thing to eat. It passed TSA, but only after about 30 minutes because there was something in it that kicked off the thing, and they had to put it through a special machine. And I'm thinking, there's no pot in this. I'm from Colorado, and I'm thinking, okay, they're thinking there's marijuana in there, you know. And I don't know what it was all about, but it even went through TSA. But I've never tried the little cold packs or anything, but my little lunch bucket that you put in the freezer first has passed through. Yes.
Another question. Someone suggested as a fruit when you travel is coconut. Now, I don't see coconut on the food plan.
This is Lorraine speaking, not CSA Howe, CEA Howe. Coconut is not in the gray book.
Right. Okay.
So that's the only thing I'll say.
What about nut butters?
It is a fat, mm-hmm. and it's a teaspoon for one fat.
Okay.
But if there's sugar in it, they're out.
Yeah, right.
And like I said, this is Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hi, it's Karen. And
Karen.
I just thought I'd make a comment. I'll sign whatever you need. That train stations in Europe do not have vegetables. So if you think you're going to get on a train and you'll be able to get something to eat when you stop at the train station, not good. So bring your food. Be prepared.
Thank you. That, you know, I remember that now. Thank you for bringing that up. It was a shock. But it's worth taking the train, going somewhere, though. It's fun.
Whoa, hello. Hi, I'm Linda M.
Hi, Linda.
I'm a compulsive eater in San Jose, California. And I was wondering what you do on days where, say, you're going on a tour someplace. You don't know where you're going to land with the group, what time. I mean, so far I've been carrying things. You know, I've been doing things where I'm like out walking all day. I kind of have to consider the group, but sometimes it just gets heavy carrying a pound of stuff. The recommendations:
carry it in your purse instead of on your hip. I've done that too, and sometimes it's, you get real tired and your shoulders hurt, but I have a special purse that it's got a small thing for my money and my thing, and the rest of it's for my food, and I've had to do it. Another time is right before they go to wherever they're going to stop, I start looking for the grocery store or whatever, and I say, I got to stop for a minute, and I run in and I get my salad or whatever I need. You know, if we were diabetic, or if we had any other health concerns, the tour companies, they bend over backwards to take care of us. We just need to let them know that I have a need for a special food diet. We don't have to tell them anything. Tell them you're allergic to so many things, you have to have your own plain food. We're not lying. That's the truth. Love yourself enough to say, I have to do this, you know? And they're usually very happy to take care of us because that's what their job is. You know, I've run across some real, oh, I got to tell you the story too. We're in Scotland, and of course Scotland is known for certain foods, okay? And we're at this dinner thing, and I've committed my food, and they bring this sample tray of their fun food, and they make a big deal about it. I ask them what's in it, and everything in it, except for the one thing, was abstinent. And so I mentioned it to my daughter. I had made pre-arrangements with my sponsor because I couldn't contact her except for email. So I made the arrangements with my daughter and I said, okay, I'm going to have this as part of my vegetable and this as part of my fruit. And so when my meal came, I put the other amount aside, you know, and I threw it away. One thing I've learned in this program is it's okay to have leftovers. And sometimes it's okay to throw food away, you know, and I grew up where you didn't do that. But anyway, there was one item I couldn't have because there was something in it that isn't in my program. But I was able to still participate, you know. And my daughter is 40 years old. She's a young woman, and we went to Ireland. And, of course, she had to participate in everything that the Irish love to do. And we went to every pub that we could go to. And the one that was in our hotel room, he got to know me so well. We'd go in, he'd give her the beer, and he brought out my teapot, you know. And sometimes I had to ask specially, but, you know, when you're in Europe, tea is readily available and stuff. And so she was able to imbibe in what she can have, and I had my tea or I had my Diet Coke, you know. But I was able to listen to the live music. I was able to, we danced. We went to Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, I learned how to do the Irish dance and lived to tell the tale. If I was 88 pounds bigger, do you think I would have danced, you know? So carrying things in my purse or just asking to stop because it's my health. I've learned to be courageous, yeah. So, and a lot of portable food, if you learn how to do it, it doesn't weigh as much anymore. I mean, I used to do the V8 and all that stuff, and I'm dragging. And I've learned to say it's okay to have the squeezable bottles. You know, it's okay.
Any more questions? Okay, we have another topic. It's our last hour speaker, Molly. She's going to talk a little bit about medical abstinence, and then she will answer your questions, sir.
It's a privilege to be here among all of you, and I'd like to thank Jose for approaching me just a little while ago at the lunch to say if I could speak on this. This morning, on medical abstinence, that is, this morning I had the opportunity to be with a couple other ladies in program presenting a topic on medical abstinence. And like our previous speaker here, Lorraine, I've had the privilege of traveling to at least 7 countries since 2007, and some of them I've stayed from a week, 2 months, 3 months, 5 weeks. And in Spain, I had the opportunity to stay for 9 months. And that was like an exchange program. I was in my early 50s at the time when I went, and my peers were in their 20s on a college exchange. And so they all were put in with families. And I said, my criteria will be I need to have my own kitchen, to have access to a kitchen, not my own kitchen, but have access. And it worked out beautifully. The woman that I got to stay with, she was married with children, and I got to see her just a few weeks ago, having not seen her in 5 years up in Connecticut, where I was up there for some work. And she's diabetic since age 10 with type 1 diabetes, and so she was very familiar with weighing and measuring food and a food plan, so to speak. So God was very powerful with that. But with travel, yes. With travel, I almost always have at hand, for me, cans of protein that I can open up to, I guess I'm not used to mentioning foods by name. I'll follow my habit. There's cans of protein that I usually bring with me with a can opener. And I usually have my oat bran with me, and I have a breakfast protein that's, you know, pure protein that I use. In the last several years, I've been using as a breakfast protein for travel. Cuba was difficult, but yet I was able to be abstinent there. I was on a tour that was meant for 7 people, but six people that were all part of a family, they had to cancel at the last minute. So I had the luxury of having a private tour. And my 2 tour guides, well, it was actually 1 tour guide and the taxi driver, they knew that salads is not really common there, so they always knew to give me their salad. It just kind of worked out that way. Again, things just work out when I state what I need. That's really about it. It's about step one, admitting, like, this is when I need to eat. And I've been very blessed that it does happen, and it does require that step of honesty and self-advocacy. And there have been times where, yes, people will not like it, because it's not on their agenda, their plan. I had a family member many years ago that invited me to a trip to Hawaii. And she is definitely there going by the grace of God. And I remember her family, the whole family got up from the table because they didn't like how I was eating, what I was eating. And so I just took my food and I followed them to the car. It's probably the last time I'll travel with her family. It was a real difficult trip. It was a real spiritual journey for me, but I got to make reach out calls that helped me through that trip. Medical abstinence. I'd like to share just more currently what I shared this morning, a couple of situations that have come up for me with my abstinence. One product that I have very regularly, I've had regularly on and off through the years, is a dairy product. And I noticed in the past really couple years I had been romancing it, really looking forward, like the breakfast was becoming my favorite meal because of this one lactose product. And I was telling the other group that, you know, I was finding telling my sponsors, you know, I'm licking the lid of this, you know, it's just like, and then God did for me in this other organization I'm in. There was a speaker from Colombia talking about lactose products and mentioning that in general it can be better for many people to not ingest lactose products. And again, I'm just talking from the experience of one person and how I've internalized that for myself. And so now that I've let go one day at a time of this product, I do feel freer. It's there. And I remember the moment I was taking, you know, the quote last bite of it for that day, I thought, you know, this is really it's food for energy. And I can have it anytime I want on any given day. It's not forever. It's just a day at a time. And I've since replaced it with another non-lactose product, a product that I've never had in my life. And they even are offering it here in the hospitality room. And it's like, okay, this is all right. So it's about a paradigm. It's really all about step one, medical abstinence, of knowing what triggers me in terms of an allergy. And then the other story that I'd like to share is about a product that is masticated. We chew on it, but we don't swallow it. You can swallow it, but it's probably not recommended. And you can blow bubbles with it. So this is a product first of all, I'd just like to qualify myself. I came in to CA Howe through a very good friend of mine here that's here today in the audience. I would not be here if it were not for this angel of my life. 3 years and 10 months ago, after being in another program, another fellowship since 1995, in which I also had a weighted and measured food plan similar to what I have today, similar, some differences. And so that's my qualification, and I am sponsoring on all levels. Very grateful for that. And the more that I am in CA Howe, I really do see how I really enjoy it, and I do want to keep coming back. A day at a time. So anyway, a year ago, after not having that product for like at the registration table, you know, after not having it for like 20 plus years, I'm thinking the disease like kicked in. It's like, oh, I'm at a CA Howe conference. I can go in and have this product. So I took the one token. Well, this year I saw that they're like offering the whole bowl. It's like, here, would you like some? I thought that was amusing. My higher power sense of God's sense of humor. He does a heck of a humor. And I'm going to tell you how I got into the solution for this year. But anyway, let me talk about the problem last year. So I took a pack, and then during the banquet, I sneaked out, like really sneaking out. I sneaked out because I wanted to go get another pack of that, because they still had it up there. And so I took it, and then I would have it every once in a while during this past year. And it was really starting to drive me crazy. And, you know, in my childhood, I had a lot of dental work done. And about 15 years ago, I had all the silver and the amalgams, and my teeth changed out for the whites. And then this past fall, I spent over $5,000 on 4 crowns. Basically, I learned from the, and I was still having that product from time to time, still, it wasn't from the gum, well, from that product. It was really from braces. I learned another thing about braces, yanking the teeth in a way that back then braces were just like, oh, what they did to the roots and everything. So anyway, and I was like, girl, you just spent all this money and you're still having this product? I mean, God almighty. So I finally, again, it's step one. If it weren't for step one, step one for me is the most important. It's something that I have to practice on any given day. And as benign and as I can make that product, it's like, oh, well, you know, it has no sugar. But you know what? I've really had to look at products in a way, well, it just demands rigorous honesty, because sugar-free, I've learned through research, really is a design or
a cover-up for, it's like the chemicals that are, this is what I've learned, that the like chemicals that are used to give that sensation of sugar. So, and again, I want to emphasize, this is just my experience, what I have found that kicks off the craziness. Because years ago, early in recovery, I used to sit in meetings and there was this lady going on, and I would say, God, would she just shut up? I said that because she was speaking my truth and I didn't like it. I didn't like hearing my truth because the truth was not falling kindly on my ears and I didn't want to identify with her and I was in such denial. And now when I speak, I intend to be conscientious of the people who are having to put up with my message and are being very polite and sitting there listening. And I'm thinking, well, this, just because it's your experience doesn't mean it has to be the experience of others, and it doesn't. But I'm just saying, for me, this particular product just was not working. It was setting off craziness for me, the phenomenon of craving. So this year, thinking, you know, Miss Ego here, thinking I'm being proactive, I contact the I find out, first of all, who is the person in charge of, I contact Adele. I go, because I was like too lazy to go look at the list, the minutes of, you know, who's in charge of registration. I go, Adele, who's in charge of registration? So-and-so. Okay, so I contact this person, and I send an email. I go, if it's feasible to not have this product, it sends off a trigger. And if not, no worries. I understand. I'll call on my higher power and put him in overtime. Well, I got there and I see this bowl, and then this time I see they're just like, here, would you like some? It's not just, because last year there's just like a few laid out. And I thought, oh, I just looked up at the ceiling and I said, oh Lord, you really got a sense of humor. And because I'm thinking, you know, the queen has arrived. They have cleared the table of this product. I mean, she's come to register. I mean, please, you're not going to have this around, right? No, grasshopper. You're just, you know, just like the rest of us, okay? So then, you know, my little passive aggressiveness, I say, oh, I want to find out who this lady is that I sent an email to that didn't pay any attention and didn't return my email or my phone call. And I go, who's this lady? So I went to go introduce myself, and it's just like my name went right over, and it's like, this is, I love it. Take that ego and just stomp on it, because you are like nobody, Molly. You're just another food addict here. And just because you made that request doesn't mean that she's going to like bow down on you. And it's just like, I said, nice to meet you. And that was it, you know? And it's like, even today, I'm walking by it, and I was like, ha, you're there. I could have you, but you don't want to have me. So that's what I have found with my abstinence. I have 3 measured meals a day and a metabolic, which is generally a piece of fruit for me in the evening at some point. So for me, that's what has been helping my abstinence. That's the abstinence I started with, a food plan designed in that manner when I came into recovery. And I used to have a protein with it. Generally, I don't have that protein because I've just put the protein down between my 3 meals. But I'd like to just touch a little bit about the emotional and spiritual abstinence, which I realize now is directly proportional to the physical food abstinence part. On any given day, when moi is out of whack spiritually and emotionally, is directly proportional to something that is gone awry in my abstinence. It could be as benign as having meals really late, too far apart, eating really fast, or having something that I generally don't have in my abstinence. But what I have in my abstinence is generally what I have. So usually when something is not going right emotionally and spiritually, that abstinence is a lot more, can be a lot more challenging, because it can come up all of a sudden. It's like, what is that about? And what it's often about is this part of the disease in me that manifests the control. I have really gotten to learn about my control, big time, total control. And yesterday I had the privilege of talking to one of the ladies I was co-presenting this morning. She was telling me about a book written, I don't think it's conference approved, about a book that talks about, you know, the disease and difficulties with relationships and control that I can have. You know, in one of the meetings, I have the privilege of getting speakers every week. and I really enjoy that job. Well, it's my defect of character likes the control part of it, I think, if I really admit that. And so last week, somebody did not show up on the meeting, and but I called in, and somebody had already stepped up to the plate, was doing their part, and taking, you know, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. But no, I decide that I'm going to rail into this person and let her have it and let her know she's wrong. She did nothing wrong, absolutely nothing, nothing wrong. Her situation was way beyond her control. I might have been physically abstinent. Oh, you have the food. Like, so what? I was so spiritually unattractive and unabstinent. It was not pretty at all. So, and she pleaded for forgiveness, and I was just like, no. I'm like, God. And so at the end of the day, thank God, he put a conscience in me, and it's like I was feeling guilty. It's like, yay, Molly has a conscience. So at the end of the day, I send a message, because it was, you know, through WhatsApp. It was to another country. And I said, gosh, you know, at your expense, you got to hear the witch come out of this mouth. And, of course, you did nothing wrong. I own up to that. I own up to what I did. And, of course, ego in me wants to hear, oh, no worries, it's all good. Immediately, I want a response, right? Of course, it's text. You expect it right away, right? Come on, I'm a food addict. Come on, I text you. No response. Tuesday, no response all day. Wednesday. I'm sitting as a delegate Thursday, still waiting for a response, distracted. I'm supposed to be paying attention on behalf of all of y'all, right? So finally I let go. And then later, it's like just before, you know, the afternoon is over, it's like I receive a message, and it's like, oh my God, it's from her. I have to go to the restroom. I just can't read this. No telling what she's going to tell me. So I calmed down. I read it, and she's like, sending me blessings, it was all good. It's like, you know, you're a blessing to me. Because, you know, that is like, God. So anyway, to wrap it up, there go I, by the grace of God, a wretch like me. I fail miserably a lot, pretty regularly, more regularly than I want, in my abstinence emotionally and spiritually. But here I am, the privilege of standing in front of you, unzipping my soul, as I call it, and then tighten it back up. But I am grateful for absence. I am grateful for this gift. And, you know, who would have thunk? Jose comes up to me at lunchtime. Here I'm thinking I'm just going to, like, go up to the microphone down there. I apologize, Jose, for taking control of my mind and thinking, oh, yeah, sure, I'll share. It's like, I thought I was just going to be down there. But it doesn't matter. You know, if you need any excuse will do, as they say. So thank you so much for your tolerance and listening to me. But I am very grateful for medical absence. And, again, thank you, Jose. And thanks to all of you for being here.
Are there any questions for Molly?
Hi, Linda M., again, compulsive eater. You mentioned a metabolic, and so tell me more about what that is.
Sure. It's an approved, I'm purposely not using the word snack. It's like for raising blood sugar or keeping blood sugar maintained. It's just like, that's what helps me in my absence. So I have, you know, my breakfast, I have my lunch and my dinner. And often before my dinner or later at night, depending on the timing of my dinner, I will have that piece of fruit. It's just to kind of maintain. It's really just become a habit in my recovery of just maintaining. I could easily have that fruit if I wanted to and just combine it with my lunch or combine it with my dinner, which is fine. And it works for hundreds and hundreds of people. It's a habit that I've had from a previous recovery. And there have been times, like even just yesterday, I think I did not have a metabolic. I had the fruit with my meal. So because actually my eating is more structured here in a CEA Hall conference. I'm very well protected here. And yes, I aspire to eat very regularly like I do here with CEA Hall. I choose to put myself on a very late system. And part of that, I eat my dinner real late at night. And part of that, I say often, oh, that's my cultural experience because in Spain they eat later. That's really a bunch of bullcorn. I eat later really because it's my fear of going back to my historical nighttime eating. That's personally what I do. I really prefer to push my meals much later on any given day. Have a later breakfast, a later lunch, and a later dinner because the nighttime can scare me. And I often choose to work late at night in my profession of choice. It just I could certainly let go of that, but that's my pretext. Again, it goes back to, if you need an excuse, any excuse will do. So that's the excuse I created in my mind. I could certainly, you know, flick it away and let go of it, but it's my little bubble, you know, Linus in his blanket. That's what I say works for me today, because I don't even trust everything I say, you know, my thoughts, which is a good thing. So, but the metabolic, yes, is scientifically based in keeping sugar levels at a stability level. So, yeah.
One thing that we have in our Forever Abstinent book is talking about the medical abstinence and how you work with a doctor or a nutritionist. It has to be within the CEA health food plan, and your sponsor will help you out with that. You know, there's certain guidelines, but it has to be a doctor-approved plan. It has to be within, there's still no sugar or flour, period. I mean, doesn't matter. There's many people who have different medical needs, and the doctors and nutritionists can help, and then your sponsor can help you put it within our food plan guidelines. But there's no reason why medical abstinence can't be part of CEA HOW. And anyone can sponsor someone with a medical abstinence. It does help to find someone who's experienced it, however, you know. But there's a lot of people who can help you with that if you have a medical concern.
I was thinking more on the level of sponsee.
Uh-huh. The Forever Abstinence book will certainly help you with that. And if you have any questions, there's some people around who have sponsored other people like that, and they can give you some really good help. Because there are some people that'll give you, you know, like Molly said, sometimes people can come up with some really good stories because we are what we are, you know. But then there's people who do need, you know, like hypoglycemia and things like that. There's a lot out there, and we have to acknowledge that, you know. Okay.
Thank you very much. I was going to share something, but I guess we're running out of time. So maybe we'll do it next year with more time. The only thing it caught my attention is the team, you know, acceptance. And now, like I was, since last year, I was, you know, in the conference and the convention, all we are equal, you know. So, you know, like group, intergroup, area, conference, world service, we are all the same. And I think we all have a responsibility to work for CEA HOW. You know, I was gonna share something about, but it's no time. Thank these beautiful ladies for the chair, and thanks everybody for being here, and we're gonna close with a serenity prayer, huh? Okay, go ahead.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.
Stay.
Stay.